Do you ever get postcards in the mail from real estate agents? I don't know. I guess they're just attracted to me, but I get them all the time. And typically, they're advertisements about homes for sale that are like next door or in my neighborhood, as if I'm really going to buy the home that's three doors down, pack up my family, and move three doors down. And I suppose that there's method to this madness. I should probably talk to a real estate agent before I start talking about their strange marketing practices. There's probably something in there about how the best advertising for a home for sale are people living in the neighborhood or something like that. Anyway, whatever the reason, I did get a postcard this week, and the back of the postcard, you can see a copy of it here on the screen. It was addressed to Mr. David Hook, Christ Lutheran Vail Church. I thought that was interesting. P.O. Box 809, Vail, Arizona, 85641. And it's basically the Scripps Canyon House, all right? And you can see a picture of the Scripps Canyon House because it's on the front of the postcard. And so there you go. Yeah, I think someone, somewhere at some real estate agent firm is seriously over-predicting how much money I have available to buy a home. I think this thing is probably in the neighborhood of $10 million. Does that sound about right? It's in San Diego, and as you can see, it's completely glass in the dining room over here. This is the ocean with a little whale. You know, there's little Nemo. This right here is the dining room. This here is the dining room table. And my guess is that I probably can't even afford the dining room table, okay? This thing looks so beautiful. And I said, my goodness, would somebody really live there? Could somebody really afford that? Of course, then the pious Christian in me comes out and says, well, nobody should buy that house. My goodness, they should take all that money and give it to the poor. Think of all the people that we could feed with the money that we spend on that house. And then I thought to myself, but you know, you could say that about anything. And is wealth really bad? And suppose that you were Bill Gates and you were worth $100 billion and this home is $10 billion. Would it really be ostentatious to buy this home? Would it really be bad for a very, very, very wealthy Christian to own that home? It's an interesting question. Wealth is an interesting topic, especially for Americans, because we consume ourselves with wealth. We have our identity and our safety, and everything is kind of wrapped up in how much we own and where we live and what we drive and where we've gone to school and what kind of job we have and all that sort of thing. We're going to talk about wealth this morning. Our Old Testament lesson for today actually comes from Solomon. King Solomon, the wealthiest guy that ever lived. If you take his wealth and the time that he lived and how many cattle and all that sort of thing, he was the wealthiest guy that ever lived. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, he comes to the conclusion that everything is meaningless. But in chapter 5, in our reading this morning, he talks about wealth. And he gives a good discussion about wealth and what wealth is in our life. And actually, he talks about a grievous evil. And in chapter 5, verse 13, this is what Solomon says. He says, I have seen a grievous evil under the sun. And what is that grievous evil? Wealth hoarded to the harm of its owner. Verse 13, I've seen a grievous evil under the sun, wealth hoarded to the harm of its owner. And I know what you're all thinking. Ooh, harm me, harm me. I want to be harmed. I want wealth. But the fact is, we know that wealth can harm you. How many of you remember A Christmas Carol with Scrooge? I just saw a commercial last night. There's going to be a new Scrooge movie coming out this Christmas. And you all know the story about Ebenezer Scrooge, the guy who was so busy counting his money, he never stopped to count his blessings. And he thought that the most important thing in life was that money. And yet, probably the most important thing in his life were the relationships that he was leaving behind, his nephew and his brother-in-law or whatever it is in that movie. He was so consumed by wealth, he gave up probably the most important thing in life, which was those beautiful relationships and little tiny Tim. Wealth can hoard the owner. Of course, that's a fictional story, but there's one in the Bible that we know about. It's actually the story that precipitates our reading from this morning where where Jesus says how difficult it is for a rich man to enter into heaven. It's harder for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get through heaven. The story that precipitated that reading was this rich young ruler. And he came up to Jesus and he said, "What must I do to enter into the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus, seeing into his heart, realized that he was one of these guys that was hoarding wealth. He said, "Well, you know, keep the commandments." He goes, "Oh, I've kept all the commandments." And Jesus said, "Well, how about this? Why don't you just sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me?" And what does that poor rich man do? That poor rich man. He says, "I can't do it." And he walks away sad. And Jesus says, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, for this rich man, the money was more important. Think about it. If he'd have actually done what Jesus said, he might have been the 13th apostle. His name might have been plastered as one of those who followed Jesus. He may have written a gospel. He may have had the most incredible relationship that he could have ever had in his whole entire life, but he gave it all up. Why? Because money was too important to him. His wealth was too important to him. And my friends, if wealth gets into your way of you having a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you put wealth above God, then wealth is a problem and it is harming you. It's the first commandment issue, where God says, there shall be no gods other than me. And so many of us in the United States, particularly the United States, but probably across the world too, put wealth and our possessions higher than God, and it harms us. And I would say, I look around this congregation, I look at my own life, I would say there have been many, many times where I've put my possessions and what I am, what I own, ahead of God. But the most priceless possession I will ever own is salvation in Jesus Christ. And you know, that possession is more powerful than any of my possessions. And because of Jesus Christ, he comes into my life and he gives me the most wonderful thing that I could ever have, and that's salvation through him. No matter how many times I put money ahead of God, he still puts me ahead of everything else. He loves me that much. I have seen a grievous evil under the sun, wealth hoarded to the harm of its owner. There was a guy, his name was John G. Wendell. He lived in New York, late 1800s. This is a guy who hoarded wealth. He and his sisters were some of the most miserly people of all time. This isn't Ebenezer Scrooge, this is a true story. Although they had received a huge inheritance from their parents, they spent very little of it and did all they could to keep the wealth for themselves. John was able to influence 5 of his 6 sisters never to marry, and they lived in the same house in New York City for 50 years. When the last sister died in 1931, her estate was valued at more than $100 million. Her only dress was one that she made for herself, and she had worn it for 25 years. Think of the joy that they could have known in taking that money, that gift that had been given to them, that resource that had been given to them, and to use it in New York or whatever, to do wonderful things. Instead, they were miserly, and it was harmful to them. So now we move on to the second one, which is in verse 14. This is where Solomon writes about another grievous evil under the sun. In verse 14, he writes, "Or wealth lost through some misfortune, so that when he has a son, there is nothing left for him." You know, when you lived in Solomon's time, if you had nothing to give as an inheritance to your children, that was like the worst thing ever. And wealth lost through some misfortune is something that actually does happen to people in this life. How many of you remember just this last year about Bernie Madoff, who scammed people out of $18 billion, and he took $6 billion of that to try to keep the scam going, but when all was said and done, $11 billion is unaccounted for, completely gone. How do you lose? I never understood this. How do you lose $11 billion? I just have never understood this. But he did it. And there are people, there was an article magazine, Time Magazine, about these people that invested with him everything they had, $1.2 million. And now it's gone. Completely 100% gone. They're starting from scratch again. Now, what is the grievous evil? Well, the grievous evil is if you put everything you own and all your hopes and all your dreams into wealth, you have to understand that there may be times in your life where the wealth may go away. You may give it to an institution that loses it. You might have a sickness, and because of that sickness, you might lose all your wealth. You might have the stock market which is another sickness sometimes, lose your wealth, and you could have everything go down the drain just instantaneously. And if you've put all of your hopes and all your identity and everything you are into money, and that money goes away, you could be in sad shape. There are people who have lost everything, they can't handle it, and they've never recovered. My friends, you have been given an inheritance that is more powerful than any money that you could earn in this life. And you can pass that inheritance along to your children. And that inheritance is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus Christ. And that love will never, ever fail. That love never fails you, ever. And when you have that in your life, and you understand that everything that you have in life, including your wealth and your home and your cars and your job and your personality and your spiritual gifts and your passions and all that is a gift from God, then what God asks you to do is to be confident in His love and His inheritance to you and to use what He's given to you in this life to further the kingdom of God. I went to a conference this last summer, and somebody defined leadership for me in a way that I've never understood it before. And they said, leadership is this: taking what you have and what you own and your possessions and what gifts God has given you and turning that somehow into a win for God. That's what leadership is. That's what good, solid Christian leadership is. And God has blessed you with so much in your life. Some of you have a lot of wealth. There may be people in this congregation that could afford that house. Who knows? But whatever it is that God has given you in this life, what He asks you to do is to simply enjoy what He's given you. It's what Solomon says here in verse 18. He says this, then I realized that it is good and it is proper for man to simply eat and drink and to find satisfaction in his toilsome labor under the sun during the few days that God has given him, for this is his lot. Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy it, to accept his lot, to be happy with his work, this is a gift from God. You know, we always think about how we, you know, the most important thing in life is what we are in this world. But what we are in this world is just a brief vapor of the eternity that's come to come. And everything in this world, you can't take it with you. No matter how hard you try, you know, you just can't take whatever you have in this world with you. Although there was one guy that did. He so desperately wanted to take everything with him that he took everything he owned and he sold it and he put it into gold and he made this huge gold ingot. And it ended up that he was able to take that gold ingot with him to heaven. And he arrived at the pearly gates with this gold ingot. And St. Peter looks at him and he goes, what in the world are you bringing paving material for? I don't understand it. There's been a mansion given to you that is far superior than this life. And we think that the things in this life are so important, but folks, they're not. They truly aren't. You may think your money, your wealth, your job, your possessions, your skills, all that is all that important, and it's not. What's important is your relationship with Jesus Christ and that you will have that for eternity. So we get back to this postcard that I got this week. And the question would be, you know, could a Christian buy this postcard? Or buy the postcard? I'll sell it to you. About all I could afford. No, could a Christian buy this house? And I say this, if God has blessed you with wealth, if through some miraculous thing, you know, you discovered the internet or something, you've got all this money, and you can buy this house and make it a win for God, that you can use the passions and the wealth and the abilities that God's given you to make it a win for Him, then do it, because that's your calling in life, is to make it a win for God. And when you make it a win for God, He is so blessed, and you will be so blessed too. You know, and the more I looked at this postcard, I realized that they're not selling me the house at all. It's from an architectural studio. I guess I went to one of these church seminars, and they knew that we were going to be building soon, and so they wanted to show us what they can do with their architectural skills. I kept thinking to myself, God, is there something you know that I don't know? But you know, that's what an architect does. An architect takes dreams and hopes and materials and passions, and they take what little resources they have in this world and they create a masterpiece. And you and I are architects with the wealth that God has given us, with the skills that God has given us, with the abilities, the passions, everything that you are in life, God has given you, and what He wants you to be is an architect with that, to make a win for Him because he loves you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. At this point, we will receive the gifts that he has given to us.